way.
Yeah, it's fine with everything. Yeah. No, I don't
finish up the conversations, please. It's my turn. Okay, we're actually going to start programming today. Woo-hoo. So we are going to start doing JavaScript. Okay? Now, JavaScript is in tune with HTML, basically. HTML, the HTML stands for Hypertext Markup Language. It is basically a markup language, like they used to do when they printed out stuff on the printer. They put little marks in the column about how big the margin should be and all that sort of stuff. Well, this is an automated version of that. But it doesn't have a lot of abilities that you want in a programming language. It has sequence because it does things in sequence, but it doesn't have selection and it doesn't have looping. And there's lots of times that you want to have the power to be able to have ask a question, an if statement, do a loop, or even do calculations and things like that, which you can't do in HTML. So essentially, HTML is a basic structure, and we can now add CSS to it to make it look nice, and we can add JavaScript to it to give it more power. So we're going to go and look at the examples. So if you go in under programs, and I probably should take a picture of that, you can see the JavaScript is down here. And we're going to go through and look at some stuff with JavaScript. Okay, so the first one, I'm going to click Hello HTML. Okay, and that's what comes up. Notice that I've got the words Hello World up there, and I've got a pop-up here that is showing me Hello World. Okay, when I close the pop-up, the background turns to white, and I can now right-click and say View Page Source. And when I say View Page Source, I'm going to get the code. Okay, and I'm copying it there so I can go back over and look at them together. Okay, so first of all, just like in CSS where you wrote style up at the top to tell it that this was CSS, when you're using JavaScript, you'll have to write the word script to tell it you're using JavaScript. And by it, I mean the browser. Okay, this is being run in the browser. And the browser has to know, the browser assumes HTML. And if you're using CSS, you have to let it know. And if you're using JavaScript, you have to let it know. And then it can implement it and use those things. Okay, so we start out and we say script. Type equals text JavaScript. Now, for the beginning here, I'm just embedding this in HTML. I'm not doing anything else. But I could have had a load of HTML in there. But right now, today probably, I don't know if I'm going to get to an example that has more. But today, we're just embedding it in HTML. So, I have script, and then I have document.write. Okay? The document is the part of the screen that I can write on. Okay, so that's called the document. And I'm saying I want to do a write on the document, which means I want to write something on the document. The write is called a function, and I put inside the parentheses what I want to write. So it's basically document write And then I put inside the parentheses what I want to write, and I end it with a semicolon. JavaScript lines, when they're complete, are ended with a semicolon. Now, what I want to put inside there is a literal. I want to write out the words, hello world. And since I'm putting in a literal, I put in quotes. It's an alphabetic literal, and I put it in quotes. Okay, so I'm saying hello world, and I put that in quotes. Then I also have an alert. And an alert is that pop-up you saw. So when I write alert, okay, an alert is written again. What I want to do is inside the parentheses. And again, what I want to do is print out hello world. We're in, when you get to mine, programs examples, and this is the first one, okay? So, I've got alert, hello world, and that is enclosed in the quotes. Then I'm done with the JavaScript, so I end the script, and I end the HTML, okay? So, could I have written hello world in HTML without putting it in JavaScript? Yeah, but then I wouldn't get to show you how to do it in JavaScript. So therefore, we will do it this way. Okay, anybody got any questions? Okay. So the next example, I'm going to go back out and I'm going to put one that says multiply. Okay, so now I'm getting a pop-up. And again, please ignore this little button that goes with the smart board. Nobody can seem to figure out how to make it go away permanently. If you can, see me after class. Okay, so I'm going to enter the first number, and let's say I enter 12. Okay, and then I'm going to click OK, and enter the second number, I'm going to put in 4, and click OK, and I get an answer of 48. And again, right-click, view page source will show me the code. Let me get rid of some of this stuff. Okay, so here's the code for that. And I could probably make this a little bit bigger. Okay, so again, I am just putting script inside the HTML. And now I am setting up 3 variables, okay? 3 areas in memory. A variable is an area in memory that I'm setting up to hold something for the duration of the program. So I am setting up answer, and I'm giving answer an initial value of 0. And I'm setting up first num, and I'm assigning it an initial value of 0, and I'm doing second num, and I'm assigning it an initial value of 0. Okay, so I said set up a variable, call it answer, and give it an initial value of 0. Now, some languages require that you tell what type of data it is. whether it's numeric data or character data, which is alphabetics allowed, special characters allowed, all that. JavaScript claims that it will figure that out. So you don't have to tell it what type of data it is. And we'll see a little bit later that that can actually cause a little bit of a headache. So you just give it an initial value, or if I don't have an initial value to give it, I could have put the semicolon right after variable answer. I could put the semicolon right after ANS, or right after first num. Then on the next line, I put out a prompt, and that caused the pop-up. And on the pop-up, there was a title, and this enter the first number is the title that goes on that prompt. And the zero goes into the text box that's on the form. Okay, so there's a little text box where I put in 12 and where I put in 4. It starts out with having a zero there. Okay? So I put a zero there initially. And then I said, okay, take whatever the user types in and assign it to first num. Okay? So when I got the prompt, I typed in 12. So at this point, it's going to put 12 right there. Okay, so it got assigned to first num. So first num became 12, yeah.
If you were to write that without the zero, would it still work?
Yes. I lots of times put quote there if I want it to. If I put quote there, then it's empty. You can just forget the comma and zero. And I think that will work in all versions of all browsers. The kind of universal way of doing it is this. The problem with a lot of JavaScript and other languages that are working on the browser is you are somewhat dependent on what the browser does with it. So there's a way of doing it, and some browsers are more forgiving than others. And then some browsers have slightly different desires. Explorer being the most problematic, that every once in a while you'll find something that Explorer wants you to do differently than the rest of the world.
It works pretty well in the new one.
Pardon? Oh, it gets better every release. But
yeah, no, Edge is their new one.
Oh, okay.
The one that came with 10.
Okay, I don't have 10.
Yeah, just saying.
Don't get 10.
Well, I'll when they do 10 here, then I'll get 10, but I try to stay in sync with what I'm going to face when I come in here. I've got 10 on 8 computer at home, but I don't use it. So now the next thing I put in with the next prompt, I put in a 4. So they now says the memory variable now has first num and second num. And again, this is an assignment sign, not an equal sign. So I'm assigning it to second num. Okay. Then on the next line, I said, okay, now I'm going to do a calculation. And I am going to take first num, which is 12, multiply it by 4, which will give me answer is now going to become 48. So answer became 48. And then I said, document right answer. And it wrote out the 48, and you can see it up there. Now that 48 was a number. So if I put answer in quotes there, what would I see? If instead of saying document,
huh? You would see ANS.
I would see ANS because it would give me the literal. So if I put ANS in quotes, it would say document write, and it would write ANS on the screen. Okay? So when I want to write the contents of a variable, here I'm saying I want to write the contents of the variable. And so when I want to write the contents of the variable, basically its value, then I put it without quotes. So it then wrote it, and then I closed the script, and I closed the HTML. And again, notice that every line has a semicolon after it. Some browsers will forgive you if you forget the semicolon sometimes. Some browsers will not forgive you. So basically, just if you learn to do it right, then you don't have to be forgiven until you make
us. FYI, Chrome doesn't forgive you.
Okay. So, there's a JavaScript. We're going to do two languages, JavaScript and Visual Basic. And we're doing them in this order because JavaScript is far more of a pain. And it's far less forgiving, and it gives you far more grief. And then when we do Visual Basic, you'll say, oh, this is easy, because it gives you a list of errors if you make a mistake, as opposed to saying, you figure it out. Okay? So.
Console show the error.
Okay. Let's look at the third one. So on the third one, multiply answer. So again, I'll put in a 12 and a 4, and this time I see the answer is 48. So we're going to look and see how that happened. Okay, so what did I do? There is nothing different in this program except the write line. And what I did here is I have written out a literal, so that is in quotes. The comma is a separator to separate the two things that I want to write. And this is a variable content, variable value, a value that's in the variable. So I wrote out the answer is, and then I put a comma, and then I wrote answer. Okay. Now notice what I did with the answer is. I have a space after the S because I want a space after the S up there. Okay. And so I said write it including a space and then put in answer. Okay, the next one is add. So I'm saying enter the first number and I'll go with 12 and 4 again just so I don't have to take pictures of it all the time. And this is what I've got. So, at one place I have 124, and the other place I have 16. Now my problem is this. Because I didn't tell the type, plus can either do concatenate, or it can do add. And JavaScript and the browser have to figure out whether I am adding or whether I'm concatenating. Concatenate means put two things together as one. So if I'm concatenating a 12 and a 4, I get 124. If I am adding 12 and 4, I get 16. Okay? So the first one did a concatenate, and the second one did an add. Now, how did I do that? Well, right after my prompts, the first line says, add first number plus second number, and then document right, the answer is answer. And that ended up doing a concatenation. So that ended up concatenating because it added the 12 and 4, only it didn't, it concatenated the 12 and 4, and it wrote out the answer is 124. So this did concatenate. Now on the next line, I said, okay, now I'm going to do it another way, and I wrote other answer. So notice I have a variable called other answer up at the top that I've added. And other answer also started out with zero. And I said, okay, what I'm going to do is do what we are calling a parse float on first num, which basically converts it to a number if it can be converted to a number. But more importantly, what it does is signal the browser, these are numbers, so add. And that's the really important thing, is it signals to the browser that these are numbers, so add them. Okay. So, parse float added them up, and this got the 16. And when I came down here and wrote it, I got that up there. The answer is 16. Okay, so let's talk about how it did it. Parse float converts it to a decimal number. I really didn't need a decimal number. I could have used parse int, which is parse integer, and that would have converted it to a whole number. Okay, so I can do it either way. Notice that they decided that parse float would have a capital F. It's camel case. And parse integer has a capital I. It's camel case. Okay. One of the things that JavaScript is very, very aware of is case sensitive. So if you write first num with a capital N, it's not going to recognize it as the same thing as first num with a lowercase n. It's going to think it's a totally different thing. And that makes sense. Shortly, we will be looking at computer codes, and the computer code for a lowercase n is not the same as the computer code for an uppercase n. And so it does not recognize a lowercase n as the same character as an uppercase n. In fact, it's not. Okay. Now, some computer things, browsers, whatever, will have special code written in that says this can be either one, but that needs special code. It's not the default. The default is a lowercase letter. Lowercase a does not equal uppercase a. They are two totally different things because they are different sets of eight binary bits. A character is eight binary bits if you're using ASCII. So here I said, okay, let's convert them and then add and store that in other answer. Now I wanted to skip a line. So this is kind of interesting. What I've got here is I've got some HTML embedded in my JavaScript. That BR is an HTML BR. And I put it there as a literal. So therefore, it does I'm supposed to write the contents of the quotes. Well, the contents of a quote happens to be a tag. And it recognizes that as a tag and says, okay, I'm supposed to skip a line. So it does it. So I've got the HTML embedded in, and as I said, it says, okay, I'm supposed to do the content of the quote, I'm supposed to write it, and you know what happens in HTML if you put a BR, you write a BR in your code, it skips down to the next line. Well, this skips down to the next line. And then I did document write, the answer is other answer, and I got my 16.
Okay. Now, instead of doing a separate line for the BR, I actually could have, right inside this quote, I could have put the BR there. So I could have written quote, BR, and then started with the answer is, etc. So the BR could have been put inside that quote too, which would have meant that it would have skipped down and then written the answer is, other answer, etc. Okay? So if you're uncomfortable with it, you can, or if you're comfortable with it, you can include the BR. If you're not comfortable with it, writing a separate line is kind of the easy way of doing it. Questions? And notice these are processed sequentially. It sets up the variables, it does the prompt, it does the prompt, it does the and, it does the write, it does the, and it just goes through sequentially, handling each instruction as it drops down to the line that has the instruction on it. Okay? So it works sequentially. No questions? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just said she's going to explain it.
Huh?
Why we weren't asking questions, because you're going to explain
Well, thank you.
In the previous example, when you added the sum, answer first plus second, it was a basic addition.
Right.
But it looks like the exact same formula, answer is a concatenate.
Yes, mainly because we have not declared the type. And it knows that a plus means concatenate or add, and it tends to default to concatenate. Okay, so when I just saw first num plus second num, it says, oh, you know, I don't know whether those are numbers or whatever, I'm just going to concatenate them. Okay? And I'm sure there are 5,000 reasons why they decided not to have us declare a type. But at the beginning levels, at least, when you look at it, you say, you know, it would have been easier if you just let me tell you the type. Yeah.
So if we wanted to add two things together, we need to use either the parse float or the parse intersect?
A parse integer.
Integer, sorry.
Or there's actually, I think the next example has two other ways of doing it. So yes, but the main thing is that you have to convince the browser that it's a number.
Okay.
And parse float convinces the browser that it will be a number. Now, if it's not a number, let's say I put in ABC, then, well, let's try that. Okay. So I'm going to get out of here. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to run this. So I'm going to put ABC in as the first number, and I'm going to put 1, 2, 3 in as the second number. Okay. And so, actually, I didn't need to do that because I haven't changed anything. Okay, so when it did the first one there, it took ABC and concatenated it with 1, 2, 3. Okay, so that worked just fine. So again, I ended ABC and I ended 1, 2, 3. And it concatenated them together. Now on the next one, I said make this a number, but there's the caveat of if you can. And so it converted this, tried to convert this and couldn't do it. Converted this to 1, 2, 3, that was fine.
And so it said I can't do it, and NaN means...
Anybody remember what NaN means? Basically, it means no, it didn't work.
Not allowed.
Not a number.
Not a number?
Not a number.
Okay, not a number. And so basically, that's what you get when it can't do it. You get NaN. Okay. Okay, this is, and again, I could be using any number, but I don't want to keep taking pictures of the screen, so. I must have closed Notepad. Okay, so now I've got some other ways of doing it.
If I put a plus in front of the parenthesis like that, it also does add. And if I write the word number with a capital N in front of it, it also does add. So I've got four ways of doing it. The parse float, the parse integer, putting the plus in, and putting the word number in with a capital M.
Okay. And any of those will work. Okay. Actually, I'm going to stop for a minute. Okay, let's go and look at your assignment, and let's look at the first problem.
I want to take in the high temperature for a day and take in the low temperature for a day and then display the average temperature for the day.
Okay, so I'm going to take in the high number, I'm going to take in the low number, and I'm going to calculate the average. Now, how do I calculate the average? Right. I add them and divide by 2. Okay? And that could be done in 2 statements or 1. I would do it in 1. But you could do the add first, assign it to an answer, and then say, okay, now take that answer, divide by 2, and assign it to an answer. Or... if I want to do the formula for that, what's the formula going to look like? Yeah.
Open parentheses, first temperature plus second temperature, close parentheses, divided by 2.
Right. Okay, so let's say I want to call the high plus low. Okay, so these are my variable names. If I write divide by 2 here, what will it do?
It'll say low divided by 2 plus high.
Right, because mathematically I am going to do divide before I'm going to do an add, right? So, what do I have to do to high and low?
Separate them.
Put them in parentheses.
Put them in parentheses. Because now it says, okay, I am going to do the add first, and then I'm going to do the divide. Okay, I'm going to add these up, and then I'm going to do the divide. If I didn't do that, then I would get high plus low divided by 2. Okay. Okay.
Since we're also dealing with JavaScript as it goes by line, you could also do the high plus the low, and then the next line divided by 2.
Yeah, no, that was what I actually said first. And he gave me the answer, I think.
Oh.
The divide by two in the next line. That's okay, you were off someplace.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So on this, you don't have to put like number before high and number before low?
No, you do. I was doing the algebra. Oh. You still need to. That's not JavaScript up there, that's algebra that I wrote. Okay, so thanks. I wasn't writing the JavaScript command, I was writing the algebra that you would have to do. That's your algebra. Okay, so I want to take 10 or 15 minutes now, and I want you to do problem one. If you have questions, Eric and I are here. And we are happy. The reason we're doing this in class is so you can ask questions. So don't you dare sit there not knowing what to do. Ask a question if you don't know what to do. I'm actually going to collect attendance again today. Again, let me remind you that if I do not have homework from you, you do not exist. Or better yet, if I do not have emails from you, you do not exist. And so I need to have homework or emails from you. And I am taking this list just as insurance. If I do that for a few days, then I'll catch anybody that's actually here that hasn't passed in homework. So there is a attendance sheet coming around. Or put the date on it too. At the top.
No, you need a whole new set of parentheses around that whole thing, starting with your plus and up to the slash, so that the whole ad, including pass votes, is in parentheses. So you need that other set of parentheses. Document right now, so yeah.
Does this have to be in parentheses?
No, just starting right there with the open parentheses. And then put the closed parentheses right there. Yep. And then don't forget you have to close up the JavaScript and all that good stuff. Questions, yeah. Well, you're supposed to work out the logic first. And I'll talk about that, but that's not what I'm doing for this first problem. We're just doing the JavaScript on the first problem.
And this keeps it all in.
And then run it. Now, how do you run it? You save it with a .html extension, and then you go to a browser and open it and see if it runs, or whether you get the white screen of death, okay, which is a very popular thing to come up.
Well, you should be able to check the console to see what you got wrong.
Pardon me?
I think it spits out on the console when you...
Oh, God, yes, but...
You don't always have that.
Well, it's not that. It's just it doesn't do it clearly. Yeah. It really could do a lot better job.
Yes, it could. I think it gives
you know what you're looking for. Actually,
it gives you the line where it got broken. I don't know where it caused that break.
It can struggle with HTML or JavaScript.
Yeah. But now we're going to just start at using your mind to find them.
For example, I think it doesn't tell you if you try to divide the number by a string.
Like a lot of things, it used to be very clear, and then they decided to, provide you more information, and more information isn't necessarily a good thing. So sometimes the keep it simple stupid is, yeah, absolutely. Has everybody signed the attendance sheet?
I have not.
Yes. Okay, has anybody got it running? Ta-da.
I do.
Huh?
I do.
Yep. A little 4 or 5, if you will. Okay, again, if you're having problems with this, Eric and I are here for...
It's not too hard. This isn't really hard.
I didn't know what to do last week. I just made it to the start.
Yeah. That's what I do. I go into one of our examples. I copy paste what I need to do, and I'll just type in line up. And get wrong that way. Because that way you know that you're not going to scrub anywhere.
Exactly.
So now you say answer.
Yeah.
Price equals
answer divided by 2. because this line says that the answer is plus one, this plus that. So that's my answer, yep. And now you want to change one to answer by one. And that would be just straight up that. Yeah. I, you can do, you, I put it together, but, and that would work. Yeah, I know it works. I don't know if it'll work with spaces.
Because that whole thing.
He's insane. He did something wrong. Oh, yeah. Oops. Nice. I like it. Oh, nope. Something you did wrong, too.
Since the last time you could use that, I talked to something I did. Give them all a chance.
Space.
So that's why it worked.
Yeah.
Okay, because basically you just didn't do the
save, all right.
The conversion of the number.
You don't save
that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so
we go all
the 60-50 divided by 2 is 30-25.
There you go.
Question?
Yeah.
Also, I suggest not running into the Explorer.
Everybody says that. I've never had a problem with it.
Try not running into the Explorer. I got it.
Okay, I'd rather have it do it, because if the Explorer is such a freaky location, then, like, it's going to guarantee me that I don't
use it.
I mean, it's also going to make me want
to use it. That's, dude, when I tried running into it, I didn't know it's not my Philly way anyways.
I hate Internet Explorer. The only time I use Internet Explorer is to download a different browser.
Yeah,
and even then, I haven't installed Chrome on my platform.
Yeah, none of my torrents work.
When we start
through Internet Explorer, I have to use Chrome for everything that I download. But when I was in Afghanistan, they like locked us out of the system. Like, you have to pay for it. Yeah, dude. So there's like expenses, dude, and like you can't stream certain things, like YouTube videos, but you can't, yeah, exactly, you can't start up YouTube, you can't stream adult entertainment, obviously, and you can't stream YouTube videos.
Talk about magazines.
Exactly, and you can't, I don't know, I'm trying to,
everything's banned.
So,
it's because of the military itself.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you, like, you had to bring your shit away. So we started hacking the system little by little. Ghost proxy. And
that was just covered.
Yeah, I try to get around most of it, and it just doesn't work. And I have like a Ghost proxy that automatically runs on my Chrome. And I don't want it on there. And I could delete it.
They can't call it content under what you're looking at.
So, I grabbed twice and just once.
Yes, and which we had a couple of dudes that were crippled there, but this, they had somebody smarter than us there, making sure
the military.
They don't fuck around. It's actually a third party.
Both inside.
So that runs. Yeah, that runs in, and then it goes through them, and then you're like, fuck.
Yeah, then it goes through the military. So it's actually two people that I have to fuck.
Throw a bunch of necklaces up as a proxy on your own machine.
Yeah. Yeah, we broke it to the place and tried installing like little shortcuts for us, little back doors and for ourselves and shit. And one kid would get in pretty big trouble.
Is that why you get into the security and get it all?
Yeah, absolutely. That, I'm tired of my goddamn credit card being stolen.
Wait, I want to get this stolen.
I just got stolen again for the fourth time last week.
Dude. That's fine. That's like,
nothing. I just have my bills taken out on it, and that's it. I live by a rule. If I don't have it in cash, I'm a buy it. And it's just somebody out there, man. There's somebody out there who doesn't like you.
In JavaScript, you just like want to
buy this
crack
guy.
I don't know.
That was a very custom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't buy yes.
Well, what it is, it's like a lot of people are like, you know, you got those credit cards, I could steal them. Like,
well,
if you got like
the
pass or whatever, and people just go up with like the reader, and they just auto detect, so you got people standing there. Yes,
So,
yeah, I had a, well, my big thing is like, I keep my wits with them, you know what I mean? And honestly, I think it's just people, it could be that, I think it could be somebody standing too close to me. So the other day, I'm standing in a couple of the farms, and someone's leaving back and forth, like, you know, I'm tired of like people standing close to me. He's like, bro, where am I going to go? And if people like you probably, just an unsuspecting person standing too close to you in line, back up. Then I end up getting kicked out, then I get my Copenhagen.
Even if you had a buddy of yours, just be like, he's crazy, it's alright.
Okay, is everybody all set on that one? Okay. Let me tell you what my expectations are on the homework, and then we'll look at a few more examples. On the homework, I want you to do the flowchart for the problem or the pseudocode for the problem. And you're actually going to get two grades, one for the JavaScript and one for doing the logic. So, I didn't have you do the logic for this. I should have, but I didn't. So, basically, what I would do for the logic for this one is I have a start. I set up my variables. I do a prompt and parallelogram is usually used for input-output, so that's a nice prompt. And I prompted for high, and then I prompted for low, and then I did the calculation. Okay, so I said high plus low divided by 2, since I didn't have room to do it. I probably actually write it the way I wrote it up there. And then I can say average equals if I want to. And then I would say, okay, display the average. And then I would say stop. Okay? So that's what I'm looking for in the kind of flowchart. I start, I set up my variables, I prompt to take in the high, I prompt to take in the low. I do that calculation, and I write out what the result is.
What does that say? Over, high, low?
Heavens only knows. It thinks it says average equals high plus low divided by 2.
No, underneath low, it says
divided by 2.
Equals high.
High plus low divided by 2. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, right. It's a little bit of... So... It says average equals high plus low divided by 2.
Okay. I got that.
I mean, some people would write just calculate there or something, that they have to do a calculate. Calculate average. Yeah.
Can you show us the pseudocode too?
Yep. So the pseudocode would basically be the same thing. So I can, let's start out and I'll write small or something. So I'm going to say stat, and then I can say declare variables. And again, some people would write out a list of the variables, some would not. And then I'd say prompt for high, prompt for low, or another way you can do it is say take in high, take in low, but in some way indicate you want to take it in from the user. And then I'm going to do average equals high plus low divided by 2, and then I'm going to say write average, and then I'm going to say stop. Okay. So I've basically said the same thing. I can't spell right, but other than that, a little R missing.
Maybe I'll make that an R, put an I in there or something. Whatever.
Okay, so I want you to do the flowchart or the pseudocode and then send that in. That's going to be, there's going to be two grades for each of these. One for the JavaScript, and that one counts more, but one for the logic, and that does count. Okay?
Would you accept if we were like processing in there?
I guess depends on how much processing is going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Simple stuff.
So yes, I'd more like calculate at least indicates that I'm doing a calculation there.
Okay.
Process means I could have a thing that went this long that I'm copping out and not telling you about.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
How can we send a flowchart to you?
Let's see. You can take a picture of it.
There's programs to do it on.
Yeah, there are programs to do flowcharting, but if you don't want to get involved in that, you can take a picture of the paper.
You can do it in paint.
You can do it in paint. I think I get more than anything else pictures of the paper that somebody just, you know, takes a photo of it and then sends it.
Or instead of flowcharts, if you really don't want to have to go through all that process, you can just do the pseudocode.
That's right, and that's why I say pseudo or flowchart.
And you could probably put it all on a single.
Because it's the same thing, just visually different.
Right.
Put the pseudocode on the page and make it work in the background.
Yeah, no, you can do that. As long as I can read it. I'm much more demanding of you than I am of myself. I got to be able to read yours. Okay, so that's what I want on homework. The last problem I want to just talk a little bit about. And then we'll go back. I want to take in the number of hours the employee worked. So let's say the employee worked 50 hours. I want to take in the number of hours the program, the person is contracted to work. So let's say 40. The difference between those is what?
10.
And what does it stand for?
Overtime.
Overtime. So the difference from those is overtime. Then I want the pay per hour, let's say 50 again, and the rule for calculating overtime, let's say 1.5. So that means you get time and a half for overtime.
Yeah.
Or if I put in a 2, you get double for overtime. Or if I put in, huh?
Double yay. I wish I got double for overtime.
Yeah, that would be nice. So essentially, then you go have to go ahead and figure out what the employee is going to make. Okay, so you're saying they work 50 hours, they're contracted to work 40. The subtract tells you how many hours is overtime and how much their pay per hour is and what's their rule for calculating. And then you have to do the formulas and come up with it. So to do that, you need an if statement, because you want to know whether they get overtime. If the hours they worked is greater than the contracted hours, that's when they get overtime.
Do you want that to loop?
No.
Okay.
We haven't covered loops. We won't get to loops.
I didn't think you'd have to
figure it out. No, we haven't gotten to loops yet, so no loops. Okay, so let me go back to examples, programs, and we're going to look at math answer, which I started to look at. Okay, so math answer says enter the first number, and I am going to enter a 12. Enter the second number, I'm entering a 4. And now it says tell me whether you want to do multiply or divide. Because it says enter an asterisk or a slash. So I'm going to enter the asterisk. And at this point, I have the answer is 48. Okay. So now I am doing a decision.
So I said, okay, set up, and this time I've got four variables. This variable I did not assign an initial value to. I could have, if I wanted to, said equal, quote, quote, with nothing in between, just quote, quote, and that would have meant it was null, it was empty. Or I could have put a space there and said equal to quote, space, quote, and that would mean it was equal to a space. Okay, I can do that, but usually I use quote, quote, which means nothing. Then I said, okay, prompt for the first number, prompt for the second number, and then prompt for what to do, which is put in an asterisk or a slash. And there's the quote, quote that I ended up using in the little box that comes up with the prompt. So it came up empty. Then I said, okay, now I'm going to do an if. And the logic of my if is going to do, I'm asking if what to do equals an asterisk, okay? And I have a yes and I have a no. And if it's a yes, I'm gonna do a multiply. And if it's a no, I'm gonna do a divide. And then my if is over. And the next line beneath it, I will do a write. Okay, so now let's take a look at how this works.
You really should have put another if. If divide, then divide. If not, put in more about.
That happens in about 5 minutes. Shh.
It's bugging me.
Trust me.
All right.
Okay. So, first of all, you write, when you're doing an if statement, you write the word if, and then the condition goes in parentheses. Okay, so I put the condition inside parentheses. And my condition is, I want to test for what to do equal to an asterisk. Now, you know how I said the plus could have two meanings? We have a problem with equals. A single equal sign is an assignment. I'm assigning something. So multiply first num by second num, assign it to answer. Take in a prompt, assign it to first num. That's an assignment sign. And they decided they wanted to have a different sign for compare equal. And so they decided that equal equal means compare for equal. So notice what I do over here. I have what to do, equal equal, asterisk. So I'm saying compare what is in what to do to an asterisk and see if they're equal. So I'm saying compare what to do, equal, is it equal to asterisk? And you use two equal signs for that. Okay? And getting used to doing that is going to drive you crazy. Because you're going to use one equal sign and then you're going to get strange results and you're going to say, I don't understand. Okay? So try to remember.
Then inside the if statement, what I want to do if it's true and what I want to do if it's false are written inside curly braces. So, if what to do equals asterisk, do the multiply. Close the curly braces. Else, do the divide. Close the curly braces. And then when they're all done, do a document write.
So the what to do if it's true and what to do if it's false are enclosed in curly braces. There are two major ways of handling this, the curly braces way and the end if way. And when we look at Visual Basic, we'll be looking at the end if way. C, C++, C Sharp, Java, the whole C family uses the curly braces kind of way. Okay? So there are a lot of languages that use either one of them. Okay?
So that's how I make a decision. Now, what is going to happen if I put in the 12 and the 4 and I enter a divide? What am I going to get as my answer?
3.
3. Because if it's not an asterisk, it does a divide and I'll get a 3. What is going to happen if I put in a plus sign instead of an asterisk or a divide? What is going to happen if I put in a plus sign?
Is it going to divide?
Yes. Some people just can't keep quiet.
I whispered it to you. That's not my fault, Jessica.
If you put in a plus, it will do the divide. Why? Because the only question I asked is, what are you going to do if it's an asterisk? And I said, okay, I'll do this. Everything else takes the no branch. So if I put in a Z, what's it going to do?
Divide.
It doesn't care. The no will do a divide. So what I put in there matters if I put in an asterisk. It doesn't matter whatever else I put in. I'm going to do a divide. So, if I want to fix that, I have to add another if statement. Okay? So what I want to do is say else, and then I want to test to see if what to do equals a slash, which is the only other legitimate thing. So if what to do equals a slash, okay, then I want to do the divide. And then I'm going to put in an else, and if it doesn't equal a slash, I'm going to say answer equals problem, or whatever I want to say. Okay, so I'm saying now, I'm saying if it's an asterisk, do the multiply. If it's not, ask, is it a divide? If it is, do the divide.
You've got a curly brace.
Okay. Story of my life. Otherwise, write out problem and then do this. Okay. And he's right, I left out that curly brace, and we will look at that in a second. Okay, actually, since I'm going to take a picture of the screen, I will put it in. Okay. So, now I'm saying if it's an asterisk, do the multiply. Otherwise, ask if it's a divide. If it is, do the divide. Otherwise, it's a problem. Okay, so now what do I want to do? First of all, I want to fix up this and put in the other curly brace. And what I always do, except this time I didn't, but what I always do is I add up the left curly braces and I add up the right curly braces, and if they don't add up the same, I'm missing one. So that's a quick and easy way to check. But if you look at these, this is what I want to do if this is true. This is what I want to do if it's false. I want to do everything down below, the else, if it's false. Now, within the else, I decided to ask another question. So if that question is true, I do that. If the question is false, I do that.
So now I'm saying if what to do equals an asterisk, if it's true, do that top part. Else, do the bottom part. But the bottom part involves asking another question. So now I have to say, okay, if that other question is true, do this. Else, do that. But I needed that bottom curly brace to close off the fact that this is what I do if I get a no to the first thing. Also notice that the if does not have a semicolon at the end of the line because the if isn't complete. All these other statements are complete. Do a calculation, do a calculation, do a prompt, but the if isn't complete. The if involves all of the stuff underneath it. So an if statement does not have a semicolon after it because it's not complete. Okay. All right, now what I would like you to do is have this so I can have the what to do equals enter an asterisk, a slash, a plus, or a minus. So I want to change this prompt to say asterisk or slash or plus or minus. And I want to have the code in there that will do that. I suspect you don't have time to do it. You can get started on it. If you send that to me by the end of the week or by Tuesday's class, before Tuesday's class, I'll give you extra credit. So if you send me the working program for that prior to the start of class, because I'm going to go over it at the start of class, then I'll give you extra credit. I really should check and make sure that I didn't make another stupid mistake in that, but it's working. Yes, it does work. If you get it fixed, send it to me before you leave. Because otherwise you'll forget to send it, Ben. If you are lost, Eric will be here from 2 to 6. And he's going to be bored if people don't come and keep him company.
Very bored.
I have a meeting from 2 to 3. I'll be here from 3 to 3:30. I have a meeting from 3:30 to 4. I'll be here from 4. And I'm not leaving until around 6:30. So if you have questions, I'm around too. Somewhat.